Well, this week, I read about a first grade teacher who was having a particularly difficult day. It rained the entire day, and the children couldn't go out for recess that day. So they got more and more restless and hyperactive as the day wore on. Have you got any of our elementary school teachers out there? You ever had a day like that? Yeah, right? So the kids are getting more and more restless, more and more hyperactive. The teacher couldn't wait for the bell to ring at 3 o'clock. You ever have one of those days where you're watching the clock, Teresa? Oh, yeah. Right, so, oh yeah. So at about 2:45, she saw that it was still raining, so she decided to get the kids ready for dismissal. She sorted out their boots and raincoats and started to get into them. Finally, they were ready to go, all except for one little boy, whose boots were just too small for his feet. There were no zippers or straps, and so it took every last ounce of strength she had in order to get those boots on this boy's feet. When at last she did get them on his feet, she straightened up with a sigh of relief, and that's when the little boy looked down at his feet and said, "Teacher, you know what? These aren't my boots." She didn't know whether to laugh or cry. But being the good teacher she was, she smiled and bravely smiled and then started to take them off. And they were harder to get off than they were to put on. She yanked and tugged until finally the boots were off. And that's when the little boy smiled at her and said, "They're not my boots, but they're my sister's. And she said I could wear them today." Patience. Patience. Look it up in the dictionary. Patience is defined as the quality of being patient, as the bearing of annoyance or misfortune or pain without complaint, loss of temper, or irritation. Patience is the ability or willingness to suppress a relentless annoyance when confronted with delay. To have patience with a slow learner. Patience. It's the quiet, steady perseverance. It's even-tempered care. It's diligence to work with patience. Let me take a little poll. Who needs help with patience? Let me make a confession here. You got a confession? I appreciate that, Michelle. Michelle had trouble with her laundry. Let me take a little other quiz out here. I asked you on Facebook this week what makes you most impatient. Here's what some of the people read, and if these relate to you, let me see a show of hands. Constantly being interrupted while talking. Does that make you lose your patience? Yeah, we got a few of those. Lack of communication. Anybody lose their patience when there's a lack of communication? How about people who don't follow through on things they said they would do? Does that make you lose your patience? People who don't return phone calls, right? I know I saw that and I was like, oh boy, I caused some of you some loss of patience. I apologize about that. Here's a good one. You could tell this is from a parent. My adult and unemployed children who can't be bothered to help me with chores. That wasn't from any... That wasn't from anybody here, I promise. Having to repeat myself. Yeah, you relate to that one. This one definitely comes from another parent. Ignoring, interrupting, back-talking, self-centered, superior, lazy teenagers with entitlement issues. Then she says, not that I have any of those. My barking little dog. Or the neighbor's barking little dog, right? People who nitpick and criticize without offering any constructive solutions. Yeah. And my favorite one is I'm impatient with impatient people. Anybody impatient with impatient people? Sounds like patience is something we could easily use. You know, it's been said patience is a virtue, but I wonder in our culture, is it? You know, we live in a fast-paced world of instant access all the times. We have fast food. We've got the 10-minute oil change. We've got no wait waiting rooms. We've got instant messaging and cell phones, everything to make you more connectable everywhere, anywhere, at all times. I mean, this is America, right? We want what we want. We want it our way. We want it now. We're type A, fast-paced, impetuous people. We don't know if there's anywhere in this world where you can be patient, to just sit around and wait for something to happen. I got to be honest with you, in my line of work as a pastor, it's hard to be patient. There's a world to save, and there are people who need to know God's love right now. So sometimes I just don't want to wait. I mean, I can be pretty impatient about God's work. I can push myself. I can push the church to answer God's call right now. I mean, in fact, I like to surround myself with impatient leaders. I want impatient leaders. I want people who can say, I see things that need to be done right now, and who go and do them. Who look at a situation and say, you know what? We can do that better. We can make that bigger, and we can do it right now. So sometimes as a pastor, I struggle with patience, for the call of God is urgent and urgent on my life. I don't know if you struggle with that in your relationship with God, believing that, man, this is God and God wants it all and God wants it right now. I've got to do everything I can in this moment to make the most of it. And as a person of God, I'll just be honest with you. There are things I struggle waiting for. I don't want to be patient anymore for them to find a cure for cancer. I just don't want to be patient. I've sat at way too many of your hospital beds, way too many funerals to people who have gone way too soon. I don't want to be patient for that anymore. And I don't want to be patient waiting for the solutions to poverty or hunger or homelessness. And I don't want to be patient in waiting for an end to racism or sexism or homophobia. I just don't want to be patient. And when, God, will you stop? When will we stop losing people to the grips of addiction? You know, I should have brought this up in our prayer concerns today. We lost one of our community members. You would know him by face because he was here all the time. His name was Donnie. Donnie never sat in our worship service, but Donnie was a part of our NA groups downstairs. And Donnie found freedom, and he found life in NA, and he got a whole new start. And then Donnie fell off the wagon this 2 months ago. And when he fell off the wagon, he fell off of it hard, and we lost him to the grips of addiction. I just don't want to be patient with that stuff anymore. When, God, when will there be an end to this? I want to be impatient about some things. And yet patience seems to be essential to the life God is calling us to lead. Patience seems to be the very nature of the God who calls us to lead the life we lead. You know, there's this old story. You remember Abraham from the Bible, right? In the Old Testament, Abraham is like the quintessential God man, right? God picks Abraham out to show the world what it looks like to be God's people. So there's this story that floats around about Abraham. Abraham was hanging out one day, and this man came up to his house, and Abraham invited him in for dinner. Abraham invited this stranger in for dinner, like one of God's people would do, invited him in for hospitality. And he went out and he prepared this great meal for this stranger. And the stranger sat down to eat. And Abraham sat down and he folded his hands and they were about to pray. But that man, he just jumped onto the food right away without saying his grace. And Abraham said, wait. We pray in this house. Don't you believe in God? He says, I don't believe in God. I've never believed in God and I'm never going to believe in God. And with that, Abraham kicked him right out of the house. Later that night, God came to Abraham and said, do you know that I spent the last 35 years trying to get that guy to come to dinner at your house? And the first time I get him to have dinner with a godly man, you kick him out? So I've had patience with that guy for 35 years, and you can't have patience with him for one night. Patience. It's who God is. In the Old Testament, they talk about patience as the quality of who God is. Take a look at the Greek word here with me for a minute. Patience in the Greek is called macrothumia. It's two words. It's a compound word. Macro meaning long, large, long. Thumia meaning tempered, long, tempered, long fuse, long to get angry. It also means suffering, long suffering, the ability to suffer with people for a long time. And the Bible says that patience is who God is. God is slow to anger. Patience is God's nature. God is slow to anger with his people, and he is patient with them even in the face of pain and disappointment and the suffering we cause God. Because God is macrothumia, because God is patient, God has not given up on us yet. I ask you this morning, can you think of a time in your life when if you were God, you would have given up on you? I can think of a lot of times if I were God, I would have given up on Jeff Nelson. I wouldn't have been patient enough to hang on. If you can think of a time where God was patient with you, then you have a sense of the kind of patience God is talking about here. Then we get back to the central truth of this whole sermon series. That patience that God has through the Holy Spirit, God has given to us. God's patience has been placed within each of us. You and me, we've been given that patience. The ability to be long-tempered, to not be easily angered, to be long-suffering, to have a long, long fuse. So if you're like me, you're sitting out there saying, how do I experience that, Pastor? Because I want some of that. Well, I think it comes from really understanding that word macro. Back up with me one more there, Steve. From really understanding that word macro. From taking the long view. From putting things in their proper perspective. It's like that view from 50,000 feet. Do you ever notice how different the world looks when you look down from it from your seat in an airplane? When you look out at the world from an airplane seat, everything sort of seems to fall into place. Everything has a proper perspective. It's that macro view of what's going on. And when dealing with God, we have to say, where does this struggle that I'm having right now fit into the macro vision of what God is doing? Into the larger picture, into the scope of eternity. After getting all those Facebook responses from people about what threatens their patience, it's pretty clear that the number one thing that makes us impatient is getting caught in the moment, is believing what is happening right now to us is the only thing happening in the entire universe. And the outcome we desire is the only possible outcome in that moment. At the end of the day, impatience says, it's all about me. It's all about my needs. It's all about my desires. That's called micro thinking. Turn to somebody for me for a favor and say to them, you know what? It's not about you. Go ahead, say it to somebody. Oh, come on, that's a fun one. Say it to somebody like you mean it. It's not about you. All right. That felt good, didn't it? All right. Now turn to somebody and say, guess what? It's not about me. All right. That one's a little harder to say. Patience comes down to the ability to say that. The position of patience says that there is always something bigger at play. Patience means we leave room for God in the equation. It trusts that God is who God says God is. Patience says, I believe God, you are who you say you are. If you are a God who says that you are in this with us in every moment, in every struggle, from this time through all time, if I can be patient, I say to you, I believe you say who you say you are. To lose our patience in those moments is to ultimately say, God, I don't believe you're going to come through on your promise. Patience is that trust of holding on to God's promise. It's beginning to say, it's not all about me. It's about thee. And I believe, God, you got your hand on this situation in ways maybe I can't see or even understand. That is the patience God has given us. And patience is to be the mark of his church. We are called to be the patient people in this world. See what Paul says to the church at Colossae about patience. Paul says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Paul says, clothe ourselves in patience. Wear it like clothes. Patience is like that jacket that you don't leave the house without grabbing. You grab it on the way out the door. You keep patience in your closet, an extra dose of it just in case you need it. And you wear it like clothes. And then Paul says that amazing thing in that scripture. He says, bear with one another in love. He says, put up with one another in love. Perhaps I think it should be a code word at Redford Aldersgate from now on. Like if somebody's like losing their patience with us here, if someone's losing their patience with you, and we do that, we church people, because we're insistent people and we want to get God's work done. All you got to say to somebody is, hey, will you bear with me for a moment? And that's our cue in this church to say, okay, I get it. We're working on this together. Would you just bear with me for a moment? We're going to get through this. That's new code in this church. If somebody's getting impatient, if I'm getting impatient, say, Pastor, would you just bear with us for a moment? We're just trying to keep up with you. Bear with us. Bear together in love. Paul says that's what they should see when they see my people. They bear with each other. They hold on to each other. They suffer a long time with each other. You know, why is patience so important in the church? Because when you look around, sometimes you'd say, boy, I don't know why they keep letting that guy come in here. That guy's a mess. That guy ain't got his life together. He's just a mess. We ought to just write that guy off. The church ought to be the one place that suffers a long time with people, that holds on until that moment comes when they get it right, when they get a chance. We tolerate a lot of stuff because God tolerates us. Hold on, God says. Bear with one another. Get the macro vision. The next time a child is in service, a baby's in service, and they're trying your patience, get the macro vision for a moment and imagine 25 years later, that child, now an adult, sitting in church with their family because we were patient with them. Get the macro vision of the impatience you have when somebody's not singing the kind of music you like sung in church. Get the macro vision and say, someday those folks are going to lead the church. That cuts both ways, friends. Both traditional and contemporary. Get the macro vision. Patience is what God has given us. And it matters. It matters in the church. Because this is an impatient world that writes people off so quick. And we worship a God that says, I love you because I love you. And because I love you, I'm not giving up on you. And neither will my church. And in order to do that, we're going to need some macrothumia. And God's given it to us. This week, I was in the grocery store. And I saw this dad pushing his, must have been a 2.5-year-old son around in the cart. And when you're there by yourself and you can watch somebody else suffer, you're like, hey, I get it, and I'm just glad it's not me, right? Well, this little boy was giving his dad a hard time, pulling the stuff off the shelves. He couldn't get anything he wanted, and I kept watching this dad out of the corner of my eye, and he just kept saying, patience, Albert, patience. Well, I watched him, and he'd come around the whole store every time, patience, Albert, patience. He got to the checkout line, and that's when all Hades broke loose right there. I don't know what it is about the checkout line, but they got you captive in that moment. That baby was crying, couldn't have his way, and he kept saying, patience, Albert, patience. I couldn't help it when he was walking out the door to walk up to him and say, hey, I just want to say you're just doing a great job being patient with your son, Albert, today. And he says, oh, no, I'm Albert. Bear with one another in love. Clothe yourself in patience. It's what God's called us to do. It's the promise he's offered. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to stand on that promise. And I'm going to sing about it too. Let's stand and sing ourselves out of here.